This week on Barbell Shrugged, we travel to CrossFit Mayhem and podcast with Dan Bailey.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Doug Larson and Chris Moore here in Cookeville, Tennessee. We're at Mayhem, CrossFit Mayhem. Hanging out with Dan Bailey. Where am I? We're hanging out with Dan Bailey.
What's going on, everybody?
We're going to be talking about Dan's training and his excessive use of steroids.
And allegedly.
All those things. So stay tuned. You'll learn everything you need to know about strength and conditioning and drug use by the end of this podcast.
Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Make sure that you go to... click here. Click here.
CTP will throw a link there.
Click here. Or here. And you can sign up for the Barbell Shrug newsletter. And there we can let you know about all the stuff we're doing, where we're traveling, new seminars that are coming out and stuff like that. You will be informed, and you will be glad that you were.
So that's just if you're on YouTube, right? Those annotations, the clickable links part, the things that I'm pointing to right now, that stuff only shows up on YouTube, I think. So if you're on barbellshrug.com or especially if you're on iTunes, there's nothing there.
So you're not crazy. Don't
freak out.
Don't start looking around your truck and while you're driving.
That's right.
I don't see anything to click.
Quit pressing your phone. It's only if you're on YouTube on a regular computer.
Yeah, so I kicked it off trying to grab people's attention for sure with the drug use.
Yeah.
But we were just discussing, we were asking you right before we got started, is there anything you really want to talk about? And you're like, I don't know. And it was like, is there anything that bothers you? And you're like, oh yeah, there's that thing.
There's this thing and there's that thing. Yeah, steroids is definitely one of them. You get the comments on YouTube videos and and other places, Twitter, wherever. Oh, they have to be taking this and that, and it's just a complete load of bull crap. You know, I would put the challenge out to anybody. I'll take any kind of test you want me to take any time of the year. Only you have to pay for it, and when I pass, you're going to donate $5,000 to a charity of my choosing.
Right.
So you better be confident. Let's see who's going to come to the table then. You know, because it's like, there's no way that I know of the top guys that are in it that are doing it. They're just too stand up. Of people to be doing something like that, and we get tested at the games and all that. And the caveat to that is, as the CrossFit Games gets bigger and bigger, the pot size gets bigger and bigger, there's going to be more incentive for somebody to try to do that.
We're not saying that nobody is doing it.
We are saying that I'm not doing it.
Just to make it clear for people who said, oh, you're saying there's no steroids in CrossFit now? Look, we're saying ease up, steroid accusers.
That irks me a little bit because, you know, you put in all that hard work and effort into whatever performance you can give, and somebody wants to chalk it up to steroids, and it's kind of just like a little jab into the gut, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people they like to point at athletes and say steroids because it's almost like an excuse.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For their inability to work hard and put in the time for recovery and nutrition and all the stuff it takes to be successful,
right.
They're not willing to do it. So it's like, they can go, well, that guy's on steroids.
Yeah, right.
Easy excuse.
Maybe you should ask Dan like a typical day in the life on a tough training day, just so people can get an understanding. Oh, yeah, I'm not prepared to do that. And I don't really want to do that, actually.
Right.
All that work it takes to be that successful.
Yeah. Or maybe I'll do it for 1 or 2 days and then, you know, I feel terrible and it's like, I don't ever want to do that again, or people might think that, but
yeah.
You know,
I'm the last guy to say, I mean, I'll tell people, like, if you think there's no one using steroids, you're probably pretty naive.
Yes, oh, naive. Absolutely.
But,
we have a good testing procedure to date considering where the sport's at, I think.
Right.
But absolutely, you could get away with it 100%. It'd be totally easy right now to get away with it. Anybody with any limited knowledge in steroid use, HGH, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you'd have to have the funding to do it for one, but because there's no year-round testing of anybody, I mean, it would be totally easy. But
right.
So again, not saying that nobody does, but saying that I know I don't. I know Rich doesn't.
Yeah, so if you start seeing people who are crushing wads and posting the same things on YouTube, and then they do pretty well, like I guess on the Open, you're like, man, this guy's gonna totally beat Rich this year. And then it's like, oh, I got hurt, I can't compete.
Got hurt, yeah, blew out an ACL.
And then
my shoulder
they're 30
went
pounds
out,
lighter.
Yeah,
like, oh, okay, well, something's now fishy for sure.
not saying that you're doing it, but
you see that in the Olympics a lot. You know, athletes are like, you know, the mysterious injury. You know,
yep.
And you know, well, they did some internal testing and. Mm-hmm. you know?
Allegedly, not Mike.
Tyson Gay, just recently. He tested positive for, I don't know what, they haven't said yet.
Who's this?
But Tyson Gay.
America's
best sprinter, basically. Yeah. Tested positive for something. He's got to pull out of the world championships. And, you know, he owned up to it, basically. He said, it's whatever it was my fault, basically. I take responsibility for what I put in my body and what other people are giving me. But they haven't said what it is yet. I don't know.
Whatever it is, I got caught taking. I'm sorry for taking that one thing.
Right,
I made that one mistake. I'm sorry for that.
So. I am surprised.
He is a stand-up dude. I'll put that out there for sure. I mean, I don't know.
I can appreciate
there,
that. Like, yeah, you got me. Yeah. I was cheating, man. Sorry. I can make a lot of money if I win, so I'm trying really hard to win.
I'm surprised by people get caught with the amphetamines type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like when I was younger, I always thought about steroids. But it seems like the majority of the people that get caught doing something illegal, or, you know, just something that's on the banned list, it's an amphetamine or something like the 1,3-dimethylmethmeth.
Yeah, pseudoephedrine, all that stuff, even stuff that's in cold medicine, that kind of thing. Especially on the Olympic level, you can get busted for it.
Yeah, so. You got to be careful. I know some athletes, you know, I had one athlete this past year, you know, she gets sick and she starts getting real nervous. And she's like, well, the doctor gave me this medication. I need to report it to the CrossFit, you know, the CrossFit. I was like, sure, go ahead, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, she told me what it was. I was like, all right, nothing about that is banned, but,
right,
you know, go ahead.
Right.
Go
do
ahead
it anyway.
And cover your bases.
Yeah, cover your bases for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. No reason not to. Because once that stigma gets on you, like once comes out, no matter if you did it intentionally, didn't do it, you know, the critics are just going to ride you.
Yeah, for sure.
It's still a very sexy thing to point out in the media.
Oh, yeah.
Cheater. How dare you betray the children of this country and the American dream and Uncle Sam by daring to cheat at a game? How dare you, you son of a bitch.
So that's probably one thing you get a lot with the whole steroid issue. I bet the other thing that you get is, well, I could probably do that too if I could work out 4 times a day and I never had to worry about anything. He probably has no worries in his life other than training,
right,
which probably totally isn't true at all.
No.
Yeah, do you have other concerns?
Yeah.
Are you a human being?
Every now and then, yeah. And that's the other thing we talked about just before we started. I understand some people's perspective of it, and that, you know, the ideal of being a pro CrossFit athlete or any kind of pro athlete, and it is great. Like, it's phenomenal. I'm having the time of my life the past couple of months, and just you know you only have so long that you can do this until
young
it's
man's
gone.
Game,
right? Yeah. So,
yeah.
But the real world is calling.
You know, the guys who are like, who will get on, you know, and troll around on the internet and say, "Oh, if I didn't have a family and I didn't have 3 kids and a great job, you know, it'd be great to work out all day." I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you know how many people would love to have a family and kids that love them
and a great job,
and a great job that you're going to be able to retire one day? It's like, get off the internet if that's what you're going to say. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's absurd. I mean, sure, no, you're probably not as good as everybody else. You don't have as much time to train, and that could be a reason that you're not at the CrossFit Games. Probably not, but like, come on, like, give me a break. It's like, yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
So you finished school this past May.
I did.
So what's this month? July? So
yeah,
2 months
July.
Now?
Yeah.
Pay attention. It's July.
I know what's happening now, and I know what May is. I know what that month is, but I don't know what it is now.
Months is crazy.
Months is that's kind of an inside joke.
What did you study? I'm curious, just for the sake of it.
I got my master's in fitness and wellness, I think is the term.
Oh, yeah,
or strength and conditioning, basically.
Well, now we're a round table of science
masters,
and exercise science degrees.
Yeah.
You don't have your master's, you're a loser.
That's true.
No education, basically.
Yeah. I basically dropped out of school.
Yeah. After your undergraduate.
I was trying.
But you've got the one job.
I was
where
trying
you can,
to get my master's, and then this whole, like, running a business thing popped up.
You've got the one job where you can brag about dropping out of school, and it sounds really cool. I dropped out of school and opened a business. I'm an entrepreneur. I don't need your school.
Absolutely.
Everybody's like, okay, well, I guess you know what you're doing.
Is that a long-term goal of yours, to open a CrossFit gym down the line?
Probably at some point. I know that that's something I could do almost at any time. You know, I know how to do it. I know what I need to get. I know, you know, I've seen enough people
so
do it.
Easy.
I worked for Rogue for long enough. It's just kind of, well, no, I know it's not easy, but yeah. I mean, maybe
you got
one
a lot
day.
Of experience in this industry, it'd be the natural choice.
Right, yeah. And I love doing it. Love coaching it.
Yeah, if you're going to coach, you might as well open a CrossFit gym.
Right.
It would be, you'd be making things tough on yourself not to.
Right.
What is the state of the I haven't had a thought about the general strength and conditioning industry in a while. Like, how is the job scene and how is the climate just working at universities now? I haven't been in one since I left the University of Memphis. Is this something you're entertaining potentially? Maybe would you ever coach on a collegiate level or anything?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd definitely do that. It'd be a lot of fun. You know, the one thing that's great about doing that, and again, with clients that are coming, is you get to see progress with the people that you're working with.
Yeah.
And the same thing with any kind of teams you have. You know, you get to see the progress that they go through, the 4 years that they're in the school, that they're there. So that makes it a lot of fun. When I was at Tech, yeah, I had a blast. I love the teams that I worked with. I love working with them.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate to be at a strength and conditioning facility that embraced CrossFit, or, you know, those kind of getting more work done over less time, basically.
Was that the first school to implement CrossFit football type?
I don't know. I couldn't say the first, but I know that...
I can't name any others I could think of.
Yeah, I couldn't name any others off the top of my head. I know some places are slowly kind of building it in there, and then some places are totally like, forget that, you know, old school kind of people.
That's a great facility up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee Tech,
nice.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen pictures. I still need to go.
Yeah, I think...
One day.
If I was going to ever submerge myself in that world, I think working at a small university, we have that really trusting relationship with your management team who's running the facility or whatever, then the coaches or the athletes who are just a young, hungry group of guys, and you don't have maybe so many egos like you might get at University of Alabama or something, just to say, that would be maybe a really cool gig for sure.
Right.
And you you finished school a couple months ago.
Yep.
And you've been training full time.
Yep.
What does full time look like?
For the steroid guys out there.
You know what? For the steroids. It's not as glamorous as you think. Like, I do better when I have something else to do, I think. Just a little bit of something, you
Why
know.
Why do you think that? You think maybe
like a little
structure?
More structure, yeah, for sure. But what it looks like is, you know, you kind of wake up. I mean, you don't have to wake up real early or anything, and make breakfast, go work out, you know, maybe do blogging or whatever you want to do on your website, read something, and you're just kind of hanging out waiting to work out again. So that can be fun for a while. It can also be pretty boring if you don't occupy your time with something else, you know.
So you do better when weightlifting is like your time to unwind rather than like what you came here to do? Like, it's like when it's not your main part of your day?
I'd say yes and no. I'd say anybody can get burnout on anything. You just have to make sure that you're pacing yourself properly, even if you're doing it full time. I still take time to, you know, chill out if there's some days where you just feel overwhelmed, like you've kind of had enough of it. You know, go to the lake, get some kind of exercise in that way, do something else other than slamming a barbell around the room, you know?
You're pretty good about taking time off when you feel like you need it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Some people aren't.
I compete better when I do that, you know? So I'm just actually coming off of two definitely easier days, you know, and I just did one workout today and was able to hit it real hard, clear head, went after it really good. So I'm in a good headspace, I guess, coming up to next week.
Always an important thing.
It's good you don't feel like you have to do like a double or triple like every day or you're not getting better.
Some days.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I would say there's no definite yeses or nos to any of those questions. You know, it's just always a sometimes and a maybe in there. Just kind of depends.
Well, I like that intuitive style. There's no like set thing that says you have to always crush these wads in order to have a shot at being really, really good. I mean, at some point you have to understand what works for you. It could be that always pushing is just sort of a foolish thing. Working hard all the time is not. You have to recover from what you're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you might be a phenomenal athlete who still just needs a little more recovery time.
Do you plan waves of higher and lower volume?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Usually it might go like maybe 2 weeks with a higher kind of volume and then a week where it's a little bit more down. You know, you kind of get to recover. Definitely with the strength stuff, the best thing I've found is 3 weeks on, 1 week off. Or that week off, you're kind of doing a deload and sitting around 50-60% of your weight and bench or squat or whatever you're doing.
Are you usually on a pretty structured strength program?
Yeah, we kind of, for the past year and a half, bounced around between our own kind of version of the 5-3-1 from Wendler. I definitely do some Louis Simmons stuff with dynamic effort days, and then some other stuff from Dan John and Pavel. I can't remember his last name, but they wrote a book called Easy Strength and had
some
a couple
kind
of progress
Russian
in there.
Shit.
Like,
you know,
some big long name with like 85 syllables in a row or some shit.
But really, it's not that difficult. It doesn't have to be that complex. It's, you know. being specific to what you're doing and overload, those are the two things you really need to look out for, and recovering when you need to.
Was you and I just, my memory's so bad, Michael, please forgive
me. 20 minutes ago, probably.
But no, right before we podcast with Rich, didn't we? We had a conversation. It's fun just to remember that you want to think about your training something. You can't just go in without a plan.
Right.
It's like this Dwight D. Eisenhower quote. He says, before battle, I find a plan to be pretty useless, but planning is essential. It's like, you know the parameters of what you'd like to do. You know what you're going for. You know the range. You know what you're targeting. You know what you're going to do in the coming weeks, maybe. But mostly you just need to have fun and train hard and have a good time. And that's still equally as important as all this other stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't be the guy who's sitting around going, do I have my 500 tab spreadsheet calculated just right so I can go in the gym and do exactly what I need to do? Like, there's people who do that. I used to do that. Well, it's kind of silly.
I have a tendency to do that. I'll be like,
it seems really good at the time.
Like, it's like, I got to put together this perfect thing for me. I'll tell my athletes, you know, I'll write the program.
Yeah.
It's like, you need to just believe in it and work hard.
Yeah.
You know, don't question anything.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there with my program going, scratching my head.
It's like obsessing
over
details. I show
30 minutes late because I can't decide, like, what it was I was going to do that day. And it's like, wow, yeah, probably should have just showed up and like went hard instead of,
yeah,
you know, try to figure out what was going to be the perfect thing for
exactly.
me now.
Yeah. Keep it constantly varied. Keep it intense.
You'll learn these lessons in time, Mike.
Eventually, I'll learn something about strength and conditioning. It'll come.
Right about the time when you're no longer able to move a barbell effectively, that's when it'll all make sense.
I'll be the best coach ever. Yeah. Once I can't move anymore.
Right.
Sometimes that's how it works, man.
So what's your biggest weakness you've been working on this year?
Ooh, biggest weakness. I think just longevity through the weekend.
Yeah.
Sprinter background, my longest time domain was, you know, 40-some seconds, 50 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, only doing that for one day or over 2 days. So kind of building up the ability to keep running at, you know, that 80% all weekend long and being able to keep up that kind of consistency. That's what you see out of the guys who are always in the top 10, mm-hmm. that they yeah. continue to be consistent all weekend long. They don't just have this great start and then dive bomb by the end of the weekend. You know, they kind of keep marching along and they're able to keep their output up pretty high.
Yeah. So what do you do for that? That's a great plan, but that's a hard thing to solve.
Yeah, doing more. For me, it's been longer workouts. So, you know, 20 minutes plus of high rep stuff. So high rep barbell movements, getting into that 30, 40 rep range, push-ups, pull-ups, all those kind of things. Max sets, I've actually found. I've gotten some programming from a couple guys at CrossFit Endurance, Brian McKenzie and Cody Burkhart, over the past 2 months as well. And one of the things that they've incorporated that have actually helped me out a lot is just max sets of stuff. So you're done with the workout or WOD or strength or whatever it is, but now you're going to throw 155 or 165 on the bar and you're going to max out front squats, however many you get till the bar rolls off.
I like that.
Or, you know, you're going to max out on chest to bar pull-ups, as many as you get until you fall off, and you do that 2 times.
Yeah.
You know, so it just kind of helps you know where your limitations are and kind of pushes you through. And when you get to that point in a workout where you're thinking, oh my gosh, I got to put this weight down, it's like, well, no, I don't, because I did 50 front squats at 155 in a row before I can handle 15.
And that was
like,
after a while.
Right, you know, so.
Is that a realistic number for you?
No, I just threw that out there. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'm not going to tell
you. Do you have any workouts like that recently that you've done where you put on 115, you did max reps, and you got however many?
I can't remember the last thing I did with that. It was probably ring dips with like a 20-pound vest.
Yeah.
And it was 2 max sets, and I did as many as I could strict, and then I'd start kipping. And it was after, I can't remember what workout I did, but I think I finished the 2 sets. The first set was like 29, then the second set was 30-something.
29 strict and then the kipping on top of it?
29 strict and kipping combined.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of nearby.
Yeah.
Still a 20-pound vest.
I've never felt more fat. Well, there's something about reps that are just awesome. Like, you know, people say, when you talk about assistance work a little bit, Rich, and I struggle with finding that the place for that, and even in my own training, which I'm just going for strength, I don't powerlift anymore. But what's amazing is just taking a bar like after a bench workout and just doing like, you know, put 15 kilo plates on there, just do like, I'll do like 100 reps. I get up going, I just feel renewed. I got a huge pump. You know, I don't feel fat anymore. I feel huge. But no, I just the recovery aspect of it to make you feel good, that kind of just, it even somehow it helps you just bench more. Like, yeah. I had a lot of anterior shoulder pain. I just, when I started doing these easy sets of just lots of reps, a lot of that stuff started going away.
For sure. Brilliant. Like at the end of some strength stuff, I'll throw in maybe just a Tabata session, Tabata bench with 95 pounds on or 135, and then slowly kind of decrease the weight through it or do the same thing with squats. And that just helps a ton. And the other thing I was going to say that I surprisingly struggle with, like, I'm a good runner, I'm a sprinter, I can, you know, handle myself and all those. But you throw running in a wad with some weightlifting, and oh man,
oh, really?
It's hairy, dude. It's so much different.
Yeah,
like you know, you blow up your arms or your chest, and you go to try to run. You're like, man, I feel just terrible.
You think that has to do with, like, you know, fiber type and stuff like that? I don't know.
Probably. And I would think there's a little bit.
I look at you and Rich side by side, you know, at regionals, you know, and he may be doing, I think we've actually talked about this before, you know, he may do 30 reps. And he may do them unbroken, but you'll do like 10 really fast.
Yeah.
And then you drop it and you're like, ugh. and then by the time he's, you know, catching up to wherever you went, you pick it up again, do 10 real fast, and then you're like, ugh. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you think with the running, maybe you're burning a little too fast?
Probably. Yeah. You know, and Brian and Cody have both mentioned that, and they've seen it, and that's one of the things that we've worked on a little bit with you know, laying down like a hard mile, then coming in front squatting 85% of your weight, you know, something like that. And it's funny you say that about Rich. I criticized him the other day before the Hope workout. I'm like,
you criticized Rich?
I know. How dare I? Right? We were talking about, you know, how we're going to go through the workout and this and that, and he's like, you know, I'm probably not going to go out that fast. I'm like, you never go fast. Like, you're the most boring person to watch ever, but you just don't stop moving. It's so annoying.
Yeah, it'd be so great. Like, unfortunately, Rich is a tremendously nice human being.
Yeah.
But I wish he was like a dick, because he's like, hey, who's the fittest man in the world here? And he just flicks a toothpick right in your face. That's a fan. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I go too slow.
I go
all
too
right.
slow. All right. I'm still beating you.
Oh, Rich is great.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want to do.
CTV's obviously bored. All right, guys, we're going to take a break real quick. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Dan Bailey.
Awesome.
All right, we're back with Dan Bailey. And we're going to discuss. Chris, go.
Well, I was talking about just how nice this facility is.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
that I wanted to point that out. Like, I've never been in a place.
There you go.
I mean, look at that. Look how
you thought you were going to stump him.
It's
you're not going
to
stump me.
I can
bullshit with
say.
The best of them. No, I mean, this is the most monstrous, impressive rack setup. CTP's getting the zoomed in look.
Yep.
It's the monster rig.
It is the monster rig. Yep.
And it's like, how many units is this? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them bolted together. It's magnificent. Mm-hmm. If you
gorgeous.
Can make this thing move with pull-ups or something, you're just a beast. I don't think Mike and I are saying there's probably no need to bolt this thing to the ground.
Now,
really.
1-inch bolts are pretty tough to wiggle around.
Oh, yeah, the bolts that got the bars connected to the...
Right.
As fat as I may be, I'm not shearing those bolts off anytime soon. I'd do a lot of pull-ups to make that happen. And then a whole other room on the other side of this wall with
whole other
a monster
room
rack,
for,
a couple west side racks, west side reverse hyper.
Intro classes, a lot of our CrossFit Kids stuff gets run out of there.
Beautiful.
And then, you know, if there's a time when people are training and that's open for open gym, people who pay for open gym, they can come in and lift in there.
Nice. So. I like the Wi-Fi setup too. You got the two TVs side by side and the stand-up keyboard.
Yeah, they decked it out. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They just put two new TVs in the back room too.
I know, I saw that.
Pretty nice. Pretty impressive.
It looks really
great
cool.
For football watching on that thing.
Yeah.
That's really what it's for.
Yeah, if I had that, I would just like, look at this awesome setup I have for work. And I'm on Reddit and I'm on YouTube. I can have Facebook here and Twitter here, and over there is YouTube.
Yeah, I want like a big screen TV in my office so I can work better.
Work better, absolutely.
Yeah. What I can do is I can airplay my laptop to the screen on the wall, and then I'll get more done.
Right.
That's a business expense for sure.
Not a distraction at all. No, never.
So what did you do for Rogue when you worked for them?
I was basically just customer service. Well, it was a little bit of everything. Everybody who works there is a little bit of everything. They,
okay.
You know, they have multiple tasks. It's changed a little bit since I've been there. The growth has been insane.
Well, they've got a new,
oh, my gosh.
They've got like 150 employees, don't they?
New warehouse.
A big company.
Yeah, it's got tons of employees.
Yeah.
So they're doing great, and, you know, they deserve it. The people who work there tails off. I've never seen two owners of a company work more, I think, than the people who own that one. Yeah, they'll put in 14-hour days, no problem, and not, you know, think twice about
it. I can't think of any other place where, if, like, I bought a power rack now, it'd be shipping. It'd be shipping today.
It is there. Yeah, it's shipping.
That's ridiculous.
They have the process down pretty good. So, yeah, anybody who would call in and be like, hey, where's my order, or I want to buy this, or I have trouble with this, or what do you think, blah, 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 this and that, and I would answer those questions, answer emails.
How spoiled am I where I'm like, I bought a 5,000-pound piece of equipment. I want it tonight. Have it in my garage set up. I expect this thing to ship immediately.
There were those phone calls, too, every now and then. You just, I'm going to put you on hold for just 1 minute and just kind of put your head in your lap. Just breathe.
Sir, we have to carve this out of big chunks of metal. It takes time to manufacture. I apologize, but you ordered it like an hour ago?
Yeah. So. Oh, but you know what? Even if that request came in, you'd almost every time you do everything you can to try to make it happen, even if it annoyed the crap out of you.
Customer service is tricky. Really
good. Oh, it is.
Customer service is just a tricky thing in any business, I think. You know, and then because you're dealing with human beings, and then you have employees who are human beings, and then you have to, like, as a business owner, you're like, I hope that interaction goes really well.
So
you don't hope. I mean, you try to put some things in place so that it goes well.
So it sounds like we could just as easily be describing talking with athletes and clients about why it takes time to get some results, because your body kind of has to change first, and you just can't change now. I'm sorry, Mr. or Mrs. paying client, but I just can't do that much. I didn't study that part in school.
The overnight results class. I missed
it. That's right. Where was that?
Well, they only offered it. There, it was a 1 day class, and you missed it.
That's right.
I don't get that one. Oh yeah. Like not even the steroid trolls on YouTube would get results that they took no matter what they won that amount of time. It's a tricky business getting this done.
Yeah.
Man, results is hard. Results is hard.
So does Rogue sponsor you now that you're not working for them technically?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've always taken good care of me.
Do you have a home gym?
No. You know what would have been really funny if we would have done this podcast from my apartment? Because we probably wouldn't have been able to fit all of this equipment that lies before you.
Oh, really? You're just living in a broom? You're just living in a broom closet?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's
like you're in New York City, but you're actually in Cookeville, Tennessee?
Right. It gets the job done for me. Month to month, it works. Yeah.
Well, dude, if I didn't have a little kid run around and a wife I would like to have just a little studio apartment that I could just... I'd probably have a stretching thing in the middle, like a bench press thing.
Right, yeah, I'd put a rack in my bedroom if I didn't have a wife.
That would be what any man who trains a lot and likes to talk about it would do for their living. Their utilitarian hovel.
There's no way I'd have a house right now if I wasn't married, that's for sure.
We were talking about that earlier. I just bought a house 2 days ago, and there's no way I would have done that if I wasn't getting married here in a couple of weeks.
Right.
Women complicate things. I'm sorry, ladies, but you do. You make these demands.
Complicate or change things.
There's no telling
you
to be patient.
That choice of word. I don't know.
They just want to change.
It's about to complicate now that you said that.
Yeah, it's about to get complicated.
Jamie won't listen to this.
That's a big
Fingers
plus.
Crossed.
That's a big plus is the wives don't listen. So I'm like,
we can say whatever we want on here.
I know. It's your area at event.
Yeah, they don't want to hear what I have to say about anything.
That's right. You didn't go to college. So
that's right.
Oh, he went to college. He just didn't have a big fancy graduate.
Not the real college.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Gotta have more letters behind the name.
You know what? That's unfortunate. It is real unfortunate about that, because for some things, you have to have those little letters. No matter what it is, the bull crap that you have to sit through, if you don't have those little letters, you can't get anywhere. But in other stuff, that's not totally true.
Yeah. It's true, man. I know CrossFit coaches that could train people for days and get great results. I know PhDs that couldn't train anybody.
No, there's been some guys who have come in here and asked me about master's programs and getting your master's in ex-phys and all that. I'm like, you know what? Take a semester and go to school. Do that thing for master's. You know what? Then take maybe a semester off. Go get every CrossFit certification you can. Like, go hang out with some level one trainers. Talk to them.
That's what happens.
Get people who have been there and have been doing it for a while and watch how they do it. Just sit, watch, take notes. Like, you're going to learn more doing that than you are reading a book. Even though reading a book is good, like, it's good and you need to do that and those things. But, you know, go be with the people who have done the...
Yeah,
you know, the deed.
So. If you compare getting all your CrossFit certs, like, even if you got like all of them, still it's not anywhere near as expensive as going to college for a couple of years.
No,
like it's expensive.
A semester.
But yeah,
like, yeah, that's a very good point. People are like, that CrossFit level one certification is so expensive. Well, dude, I mean, how much does school cost? I mean, there are people who sink $100,000 into school and go out and get a job making $20,000 a year. I mean, that's a far worse investment.
Right.
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 Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this might be a little off topic, but like what I think formal education university style is going, if it doesn't go away, it's going to change really big really soon. And sometimes when people come to me, you know, I think there's still some universities offering really good educations out there, but I've learned most of what I know about training and business and everything,
life,
you know, since then. Yeah. And there are tons of good certifications out there for training.
Yep.
They go way into the weeds on physiology and stuff like that, way more than I did in school. Or maybe they did go into it in school, but it didn't really connect with me.
Right.
Maybe because I wasn't, you know, paying for all of it myself and so on and so forth.
Right.
But like, you know, when you're coming out of pocket yourself and you're paying, a company, and you're going to trust that they're going to do a good job of presenting good information and all that kind of stuff. I think that there's just, on the business side of things too, like if you're a CrossFit gym owner, there are so many good resources out there that you would never get out of business school. If you come out of like, get a bachelor's or even a master's in business, and then you try to go open a CrossFit gym, guess what? You're not going to know how to do anything. No. Like, you have to learn all that stuff over again.
Yeah.
So
it would behoove you more to just go to a box and say, hey, can I shadow you guys and talk to you for a week? Like,
dude, that's
you
the
would
best
learn more
thing
in that
right
week
there
than you would in a semester.
Find the box that's been around the longest in your town.
Right.
And try to intern there. That's probably the best, because those are going to be the most experienced guys and be able to pass on the best knowledge.
Right.
I've come to see school. It's the thing you do for like, it was college. It's 4 years of earning the right to be in a position to then start your journey. That's really the way I see it. It's like, you do all this work and you prove to me that you deserve a shot to now start the real work. Like, you've proved that you can do good work. Good, now let's start learning things.
Right.
That's the way I see it. That's where your real education starts.
When I got out of my bachelor's in physical education, and I did student teaching, you know, you have to do the whole bit to get your license in Ohio, but I learned more, and this isn't to discredit the program or anything, it was a great program.
The programs are good.
Right, they taught me a ton, you know, but in my first year of teaching middle school physical education, I mean, middle schoolers, wow, okay.
Oh, yeah. God.
I learned more.
More in patience, probably.
Yeah, I learned more in a spring semester of that than I did in 4 years of school.
Talking about
like,
steroids.
Worked, what didn't work? Yeah.
You have all these little men running around who are out of their mind on anabolic agents because their body is flooding itself
pretty
with just
much
huge amounts of naturally occurring steroids and hormones. And they have no idea what life is about, and they don't care. They're just mad, and they're going to just punch shit, and they're going to just slam Red Bulls and run around the gymnasium, and you're going to teach them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about the hardest client. If you could teach that little kid to shut up for 5 minutes and just listen.
One of the most fun things to do of the day, well, number one, I'd wake up and I'd have to say, just don't get mad at 90% of what's going to happen today. You just can't. You just can't get mad. You just got to roll with it and have fun.
Remember that you two were an idiot in middle school. Like
right.
We all were.
And then I would sit sometimes in the bleachers when I'm getting ready for just for class to start for the bell to ring, and they had these specific spots they had to sit on the floor. And, you know, a couple of days I'd just sit and I'd wait after the bell ring. I'd just want to sit and watch them. Just watch what a middle schooler does when they're by themselves, just sitting there or just standing there. I mean, twirling around in circles, playing with their hair, like just the most bizarre things you've ever seen. Like, what is going on in your head right now? Where are you? Like, what, you know, what planet are you on? I can say that, I guess, because we've all been there. But
I'm sure if there were cameras in my house and people could watch me by myself in my house, like, that dude's weird.
They've done those studies where adults will try to mimic like a 5-year-old, just do exactly what he does. Whatever position he puts his body in, if he's running around with his hands in the air, you run around with your hands in the air, and just try to do what he does for 2 hours, and the adults come back just like totally exhausted.
Sure.
Like, they cannot keep up at all. Even if they're running the same distance, like if a 5-year-old runs, you know, 30 feet, that's a long ways for a 5-year-old, small stature,
they do it
little
so
legs.
Fast.
Right.
Yeah. And you probably don't have to run, but you know, 20% as fast as they do, like as far as your max speed goes to keep up with them, but still, like after 2 hours, you're wiped.
Dude, I don't want to do that now. Was it 5-year-olds?
Yeah, I made up that number, but yeah, just like little kids. Try to keep up with a little kid and just do whatever he does. Even if it's a baby just sitting on their back, like the baby will just sit on their back with their head up in the air, like they're doing like a half crunch, and they'll just like hang out there.
Yeah.
Just like looking around. Your abs will be burning, you'll be dying, and the baby will look totally fine.
I bet that'd be like a lesson of being present in the moment too, like just having fun, not worrying about other stuff going on.
That's right. A really good point though.
They're not worried about like, you know, what they have to do tomorrow or what happened yesterday. They're probably just appreciating what they got going on right now.
Worried about the next 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That's a good part about hanging around with kids, that they have really awesome characteristics, like noticing the details, being carefree, being completely present. I mean, geez, look back when you were in elementary school, like you just thought about this class, this moment right now, and you were happy and carefree most of the time.
Well, if I was in class, I was going, just staring at the clock.
Yeah,
I wasn't very present, I don't think.
You were going, when I get this degree done, I got to pay off this debt. When I get the debt paid off, well, hopefully I can get a good job. But if I don't get a good job, what then? That's what's going through the college student's head. Yeah. That's miserable.
It's like opposite. I don't think I thought about any of that.
Well, you just go, I'll figure it out. No big deal.
I would just figure good things would happen.
It's a good attitude to have.
And they have, Michael. But you guys kind of scared the shit out of me because I've got a little boy going to be 2 here next 2 months, and he's already exhausting me. Guy's got so much energy. Now he'll just do things like he'll just look at me, he'll smile, hi, and you're like, oh, what a nice moment. And he'll just grab his giant Buzz Lightyear toy, just hit you right in the temple with it. I'm like, Jesus, what did I do? He just laughs at it. I mean, it's just, the kids are amazing, man. It's a good time.
Dan, do you have any, big plans for after the games?
I'm going to hang out in... I only bought a one-way ticket right now, so I'm not sure what the plan is, but...
Sweet.
I have a really good friend who lives up in Fresno, California, and I know I want to go up and see him. And I know that I think Rich and some other people were talking about hanging out for a day or two after, so
yeah.
We'll probably hang out, kind of relax, you know, do whatever, hopefully surf a little or do something like that, so...
You surfed before?
I've surfed twice, and it's been... interesting both times. I'm not very good at it. I can get up on the board though. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Seems like surfing and snowboarding is some of those humbling sports where you're like, I'm pretty athletic. And then you go try, and for the first couple hours, you look like a mess.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, I think they're kind of like weightlifting. Like, when you see it, you're like, what's the big deal? I think I can do that. It doesn't seem hard, right? I mean, right. You see somebody do a snatch, it's like, well, that seems easy. And you go, when you try to lift it like that. But I know surfing's like that. I challenge Paul Gomez to help me if we get out there to get up on the board. He said he can do it. He looked at my fat ass and said, you can definitely get on the board. I'm like, you really think that? All right, man. I trust your expertise. I'm so top heavy. God.
All right, guys. Let's wrap this up. I'm going to let Doug go first on plugging stuff. That way Dan can think about what it is he's supposed to promote and maybe mention some sponsors. But go ahead, Doug.
All right. We got the next 6-month muscle gain challenge coming up here in just a couple weeks. I think registration opens early September. So come up here in a couple weeks. If you want to check out what that's all about, you can go to muscle.barbellshrug.com and kind of read through some of the past testimonials from the guys, see all the progress they've had. We've had a lot of guys hit some big PRs on their snatch, their clean jerk, their front squat. They're putting on, you know, 10, 15, 20 pounds. And, they're coming out of that program, you know, with some amazing results, really. For some guys that have had trouble putting on muscle for years or never, that never thought they'd even be able to put on muscle, they're really doing very well, in the current program. So if you want to put on some weight and get better weightlifting specifically, then go to muscle.barbellshrugged.com and you can check out that program.
Beautiful.
What do you got? Sponsors.
All right, Dan.
Plug sponsors. Plug no, I don't I do think that you mentioned, cheesy stuff.
I think everybody, you mentioned a blog or something at some point, too.
That's not up and running yet, so it will be. Maybe the next time we talk, it'll be rolling after the game. So.
Who are your sponsors?
Rogue Fitness.
Rogue?
They've always taken care of me. They got the best equipment in the biz. Everybody knows that, so that's indisputable. So.
Cool.
And thank you guys for coming out and Mayhem for letting us use the facility.
Yeah. Beautiful place. Yeah. Beautiful company in Rogue. Is it my turn?
Go.
Can I plug away. Myself? So if you want to learn awesome things and really expand your awareness, man, about training and life in general, go to barbellbudo.com. That's my blog. And you'll see a little link to the store there if you want to support what I'm up to. You can buy an awesome, pristine, signed copy of the book I wrote, Progress, and your whole life will come together and everything will be perfect. I promise you. That, like, as I say, I'll give you a free coupon for one hug redeemable whenever I see you out in the wild. That's a promise.
All right, guys, make sure to click this link and sign up for the Barbell Shrug newsletter.
If you're on YouTube.
It's between our hands, actually. All right, see you next time. Thanks, Dan.
Cheers.
Thanks, Dan.